Well, statewide, we have about 250,000 tons of salt on hand right now. And that's, we try and doing something differently now. We're working towards looking back at historically how much we've used over the last 10 years and kind of adjusting our supplies for that. We can get more salt than we do during the winter, depending on how much snow we do receive during the winter.
Where do we get our salt?
We have several suppliers for salt. Different companies have some salt mines in Kansas. And then there's salt mines down in Louisiana where they barge it up the Mississippi River towards St. Louis and then they truck it in to some of our buildings on the east side of the state.
So if we do get low, there's no problem in restocking if we have a really bad winter.
Correct. We purchase our salt in the summertime to try and get ready for the winter, get everything filled up as much as we need to, and then we have a replenishment contract that lasts through the winter that we can resupply depending on the severity of the winter.
How expensive is this stuff?
Well, it varies. There's a lot of trucking costs involved. Depends how far they have to truck it. I think average price statewide is about $60 a ton.
Okay. Did you have any left over from last winter?
Yes, we do have salt left over usually after every winter. We try and not run out, of course, so we can't. It's hard to determine when that last snowfall is, so we try and have some, you know, like I said, so we're prepared for any last snowstorm.
Does it keep very well?
Yes, it'll stay in storage for several years. We try to recirculate our salt supplies at least every couple of years before it does start setting up. You know, it'll draw the moisture if we don't use it, and it'll kind of harden up a little bit.
In the last few years, five or so, I guess, probably, you folks have done a lot more with liquids, with chemicals that go down on the roads that that have a better record of not freezing as much as salted roads might. Am I correct?
Yes, we use liquids from salt brine, which is just we pour water over our salt, rock salt, and make a brine solution, and we add that, and it helps the salt start working quicker. And that works down to about 20 degrees. And when it gets colder than that, we also have supplies of liquid calcium chloride. And then we've been using beet juice the last several years and increasing our use of that. It helps the salt and the salt brine work at lower temperatures, and it's a lot more environmentally friendly.
I have been fascinated by the beet juice since we first talked to somebody over there the first year I think you used it. Where do we get our beet juice? I know there's a lot of beets grown out in Colorado and that places, those places. Is that where it comes from?
The beet juice we obtain, I think, are provided through the desugaring of sugar beets in the Dakotas is where it's grown and processed. That's where we get our supply at.
How many? You have any idea how many gallons we have of this stuff for this winter?
I have it. I don't have that on hand right now with me.
That's okay. That's okay. Do we use this, the beet juice and the brine, more on our northern Missouri roads than on the southern Missouri roads?
Well, it varies depending on a lot of times what the district people get comfortable with using products. Some of them will use more brine. Some of them will use more calcium chloride. And then beet juice, we're trying to get that spread out over the whole state as needed. Correct. The northern part of the state does receive a lot more harsher winters, colder temperatures, and so forth than the southern. So just overall, we use more material probably up north than we do south.
How about cinders? We used to use cinders. Everybody used to use a lot of cinders. Do we still use cinders at all?
Well, we use what we call abrasives, and which could be anything from cinders to aggregate chips, small chips, limestone chips, sand. We use that to help, I guess, more for traction when the road is snow-covered, snow-packed. Put some of that down there to help with traction But salt is the main thing we use to melt the snow and ice.
Can you kind of walk me through a scenario here? We know, for example, that that a snowstorm is headed our way. And you folks sit down, you look at your maps and figure out where it's going to be and where, how much we're going to get. Then how do you coordinate all of the work that your crews do when they go out on the roads in terms of who has what stuff in their trucks and what they spray and what they drop and how many crews are out and things like that? How do you coordinate all of that?
Well, a lot of the coordination is done at the district and the maintenance area level. We get a forecast, lets us know when the snow is coming in advance. This time of year, we've been getting our equipment and everything material ready, so when a storm is forecast, a couple days in advance, they'll make sure last minute checks on the equipment and everything. The day before or several hours before the snow is scheduled to hit, they'll load up the salt, the material, and when the weather people calls and then our supervisors start calling our employees out, then they'll just wait for it to start snowing.
I don't remember that I've looked very hard when I've gone past a truck or driven behind one of your trucks. Do you have chains on the tires of these trucks?
We don't use chains all of the time. We do have chains for every truck, but it depends on how slick and how bad the conditions are when they put chains on.
Yeah. I assume that you folks have spent a lot of time making sure that your trucks are ready, that the shovels are ready, and everything that was either worn down last winter or needed to be replaced last winter has been taken care of by now?
Yes, they should be. I should say that we spend, after the winter, when we put the equipment away, if anything's needing repairs or replaced, then they put their orders in for new equipment and so forth, make the repairs. And then in October, November, we really start training any new employees, going over new policies or procedures with our employees, like I said, making sure all the equipment's ready. So we've been spending the last couple months doing that.
It's kind of hard to believe that when we drive down the road and see one of your trucks out moving a lot of snow or see a road grader out moving a lot of snow, that these scoops on the front of the trucks wear down, wear out, or crack or break. Do you have to replace them very often, or can you just replace a segment and get by with that?
Well, the snow plows have blades at the bottom, but that's what actually does the contact with the roadways. And those do wear out, and we have to replace those during the winter or occasionally. And if we hit something, of course, a lot of times you can't see what you're plowing when conditions are really bad. And if you hit something, plows will break. And we do have spares. About every area or every district has spare plows sitting around so that if we do break one, we can pick up another one real quick.
You don't have trucks that are sidelined very long, do you, in the wintertime? You can't afford it, I don't suppose.
Yeah, we try not to. If something major happens mechanically with the engine or something, that may put us down a truck. But we can move, trucks around easy enough to, if somebody's needing something, we can help them out, by moving people or equipment around.
Do the guys who drive these things get in a lot of overtime this time of year? There's no way you can schedule this, I suppose, so they probably do get a lot of overtime.
Yeah, like I said, depending on the winter. A lot of that, they work 12-hour shifts when we do plow snow, if, storms last more than a day. I guess this is a good time for overtime for our employees.
Tim, have you driven one of these trucks? Have you been on one of the road crews during your career with the department?
I was back in the 80s when I first started, and plowed some snow for one winter. I have very limited experience, but yes, I have.
I don't suppose that's something that you would look forward to ever repeating again.
Well, it was interesting when you're younger and have the time and single and all that. And I guess the employees that do this on a regular basis for their whole career, I take my hats off to them. They do a tough job and do it rather well.
What's the, I guess, the most dangerous part of that job when you're out there working in the snow, trying to move the snow around, keep the roads clear? I suppose there are some hazards involved.
Correct. I mean, it's driving under less than desirable conditions in the first place, and then having a, you know, snow plow in front of you and trying to, sometimes it's hard to even see where the road, you know, the side of the road ends. So, you know, we do, you know, sometimes it happens, they slide off the road just like everybody else in a winter storm. So, yeah, accidents is one concern. People passing us or having problems hitting us, you know, it's dangerous driving because it's a winter storm, and then having to, you know, work the plow and keep your concentration on that and driving, it's a really tough job.
I was going to ask if motorists are a problem for you guys.
Well, we just, you know, ask that they slow down and you know, if they don't have to, if they, you know, don't have to pass us, then try not to. I know we're going a lot slower because we have to plow. We can't keep up with, you know, the traffic, but it is something that is a concern. We try and stay out of their way, and we just ask that they stay out of our way.
Do you stop very often, or have you? Do your drivers stop very often and rescue people who've gone off in the median or gone off in a ditch? Is rescuing motorists part of the job?
If somebody's stranded or looks like they're in jeopardy, especially in real cold conditions, we stop and make sure everything's okay. If not, we'll call for help if they need help, that type of situation. We're not going to leave somebody that's hurt on the side of the road. We'll try and stay there until help arrives. But our job during a snowstorm, of course, is to plow the road. And every time a snowplow stops, you know, that they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing.
I guess one last question I have for you is, when a storm starts to move in, does the snow have to be a certain depth before the crews actually start going out? Or do you try to get a head start on some of this stuff?
No, we try and be prepared when the snow starts falling. We will not wait until, you know, so many inches are on the roadway. We will be out there ready and starting when the first snowflakes hit, hopefully.
It seems to me that even before snowflakes start to fall, I start to see trucks buzzing around. I guess they're going out to where they're appointed stations to get ready and so that they're there when it happens?
Correct. Yeah. And sometimes we will, with those liquids, pre-treat the roadways or the bridges or stuff like that. If we can get some material, some salt down ahead of time before the snow starts falling, then that will help prevent the snow from bonding to the pavement, make it clean up a lot quicker.
Are bridges a special emphasis point for you and your folks?
Well, that they're all up in the air and out in the open like they are, they do tend to frost. Like on these frosty mornings, they will frost over. So we do get a forecast for the percent of chance, you know, these bridges might frost, and we go out there and maybe treat them, try and, you know, keep them from getting slick. But during storms, you know, they're just part of the road then. So, yeah, we treat the whole road, cross over the bridge. But, yeah, we do have to kind of keep an eye on them.